Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, former commander at LAPD, and he's now in Ohio. And, who did we have on the show yesterday that's in Ohio right now visiting over there? Who did we have yesterday? Man, I can't believe that. I can't remember. We had our panelist yesterday is in Ohio. I told them to try to hook up with you. It'll come to me. But welcome to the show, Jeff Wininger. What, do you know who it is, Jeff?
Did you have Sheriff Kreiner? Was he on?
Sheriff Mark Kreiner. That's it.
Yeah, I believe he said he had family here. Yeah.
Yeah. He's and he was on vacation and called in and did the show yesterday. So, wow. So he's there. So good. Yeah. Your memory is obviously better than mine. And, we also have Dan De La Cruz from Compliant Technologies, the guy that lives to apply the glove. And, before the show, he was asking, Jeff, how his experience went, and Jeff was sharing that with us. And we'll probably have you do that again in a few minutes here, but, cause it's worth repeating. And, thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. We appreciate it. And also, look, our sponsors, our title sponsors, Gauls at Gauls.com. Also, Compliant Technologies, that's Dan's company, and they are our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we went satellite radio on May the 5th, have not looked back since, and it's been a wild ride. So thank you so much to Dan De La Cruz and Compliant Technologies for helping make that happen. A shout out to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. They're back. So, yes, we have our arm sponsor back. So you're going to see Aero for at least the next few months on here. Also, Scott Steyer, the former Green Beret Delta Force guy from Aero. He's going to be back on the show as well. We have gunlearn.com, bluethegold.com, mymedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now on the stream of the live show. And also, we've got two bells. So built our new online store at leoroundtable.com. Jeff, we're doing another giveaway today. We are. All right. So that means whenever Jeff's on the show, he's got a little deal worked out with Two Bells. So we will be doing a $20 gift card giveaway for the new online store that Two Bells built for us. That means that they're going to cover the first $20 you spend at leoroundtable.com. You can't beat that. And if you want to enter that contest, and this is during the live show now, type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell. We will need your email address as well. Of course, you're going to have to be watching the streaming version of the show in order to accomplish that. But we will be giving away that $20 digital gift card code at the end of the show, as long as we have your email address and you haven't won in the last 60 days. Also, another new sponsor, FishOrlandoBass.com. And hey, if you're going to Disney, you got the wife and the kids or even the grandkids, like what Brett gets stuck doing. And let's just say you don't want to necessarily go to Disney. You want to drop the kids or the wife and the grandkids off. You can do that because you have options now with FishOrlandoBass.com. They have fishing charters. And if you really are adventurous and you want to go hunt crocodiles, we're really here in Florida. They're really calling them alligators. But they're not like the saltwater crocodiles. But if you want to capture and release those, they have that opportunity as well. So FishOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We have two main topics, actually. They're really covering the same thing. So we've got Michigan Democrats. They're seeking to prosecute mask-wearing ICE agents after the state instituted a $500 fine for being maskless during COVID. And then, not to be outdone, we've got LA, so Los Angeles County, they push to prohibit law enforcement from hiding their identities while working on the job. So we're going to be covering those two stories, but that alone is going to be an interesting one. Of course, Jeff Wininger used to work for both the LA County Sheriff's Office and LAPD, so that'll be interesting. We've also got suspended North Andover officer who was shot by police during a domestic incident. She issues a statement. We've got, and that's if we have time to get that one. We got Albuquerque police. They shoot a suspect who pointed an airsoft BB gun at the officer. Of course, you don't really know. You can't tell in advance, if it's a real gun or not. We've got Dallas police body cam shows an off-duty officer shooting and injuring a suspect at a nightclub parking lot. And these two, they just came out. We've got Davis Barami. He's fatally shot by Antioch police officers when he charges at them with a knife. Orange County deputies here in Florida fatally shoot a guy armed with a knife. And then we've got Oklahoma City police release footage showing what led up to a deadly shooting of a rape suspect. And this dude, was wearing nothing but maybe shoes, if we're lucky. I mean, you know, he was trying to get away at the last minute, jumping a fence and stuff. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and take the first topic. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper, and these are both at foxnews.com. I'm going to go ahead and cover both of them together, and then we'll discuss if that's okay. Michigan Democrats serve or seek to prosecute mask-wearing ICE agents after the state instituted a $500 fine for being maskless during COVID. So a Michigan Democrat effort, it would open up ICE agents to state prosecution if they conduct immigration enforcement operations while wearing masks that conceal their identity. Now, this is coming from 5 years after Michigan Democrats supported Governor Gretchen Whitmer's order outlining $500 fines for civilians now who conversely defied her executive order to wear a mask in public during the coronavirus pandemic. So the civilians weren't going for it. Now they're trying to make it apply to ICE agents like that's going to go any better. The bill's sponsor is a state representative, Betsy Kafia, and she's a Democrat from Traverse City. And she said that Friday's ICE masking up, it mirrors the tactics of secret police and authoritarian regimes and strays from the norms that define legitimate local law enforcement. So she doesn't like them masking up. And of course, if you haven't had your head in the sand, you know why they were doing it. We'll cover it again in case you are unaware. But she goes on to say it confuses and frightens communities. Those who protect and serve our community should not do so behind a concealed identity. And, you know, maybe in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to. Then we got State Rep Noah Arbit. He's also a Democrat, but he's from West Bloomfield. He added his name as the co-sponsor, and he said in a statement, when a person is unable to discern whether someone's apprehending them is a government authority or not, it shreds the rule of law. And he goes on to say, that is why the Trump administration and the Republican Party are the, and you're going to love this, that he says the Trump admin and the Republicans are the most pro-crime administration and political party that we have ever seen. This is this Rep. Noah Arbit, you know, the same guy with the party that's had open borders for the last 4 years and why we have this whole crime problem and ICE agents having to do their thing in the first place. Now we have the Attorney General weighing in. This is the scary part for me. Dana Nessel is one of the several state prosecutors to demand Congress pass similar legislation at the federal level, also through her support behind the bill. So we have an Attorney General throwing their support means that they're not going to have any issues with prosecution. And let's jump down, you know, to, well, this is Michigan, so let's go down to Los Angeles in California. Los Angeles County pushes to prohibit law enforcement from hiding their identities while they're on the job. We know that we've just had a lot of feds there recently that have been withdrawn from LA, but officials are calling for an ordinance to prohibit law enforcement officers from concealing their identities while on duty. It comes after recent federal immigration raids in the city where some federal agents covered their faces with masks and then refused to reveal their identities, which is not abnormal, according to the article. So the Board of Supervisors, they voted 4-0, which is surprising, with one abstention on Tuesday, to direct county council to draft an ordinance that bans law enforcement, including federal agents, from wearing masks. They do have some exceptions, medical protection during undercover operations. The officers would also be required to visibly display identification and agency affiliation while on duty in public. It goes on to say that the supervisor, Janice Hahn, who co-authored the motion, they said raids have provoked fear. Residents have a right to know who's stopping them. They bring up this thing about you know, people could throw on a badge or a raid vest and go start grabbing people. Of course, I don't know of any instance where that's happened, but they're using that as some kind of a justification to do that. And they kind of go on and on. I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole. I think I've kind of pretty much whet the appetite. You guys, everybody understands kind of what's going on. And the people who don't understand why the anonymity is important is because there have been threats and disclosures of ICE agents, their identities, their families have been put in jeopardy because their identities have been well known. So sadly, we live in a world where this is a very great fear, and the other side is looking to expose that. And there's nothing in the statute that says that you have to put your family's safety up at risk by, you know, protecting the country. So that said, we got about a minute and a half before we take our first commercial break. Whoever wants to weigh in on this first, but it's a controversial topic. Dan Dela Cruz.
Well, you pretty much summed it up right at the end there of what I was going to make.
Well, sorry about that.
But that's all right. I'll just elaborate on a little bit. That side that's out there, if they weren't projecting these people to interfere with police work in the first place, we wouldn't have to be worried about wearing masks to cover ourselves and protect ourselves, protect our family, because they're riling these people up against these officers who are just out there doing their job and following the point of law. But now their face is seen on TV and video cameras and everything else. They're in danger because of what this society has grown from their, you know, lack of understanding of law.
Thank you. Thank you. Jeff Wininger. And you know, LA is your neck of the woods. So I don't know if you have any, you probably are not surprised about that, but I covered the Michigan one first because it's different. You know, they're doing the $500 fines. And even LA said that we don't know if we can even enforce this. It might have to go through the court system before we can find out, but they're going to give it a go, it looks like.
Right. Yeah. You know, that being said, I'm not surprised. And I'll get into that a little bit after the break.
All right. We have a break coming up, which I just noticed commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And guys, look, we all know that we're going to get gear and we love to get gear and buy gear. And when you can consider online choices, it's almost limitless, right? You can get gear from just about anywhere. But I want to remind everybody who's listening and watching this show about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations. Yeah, I said dozens, like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, they've got everything pretty much but guns and ammunition. So if you haven't checked them out lately, please do. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, of course, my favorite product that they have is called the glove. And, you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that address, it is ComplianTechnologies.com. Go there today. You'll be glad you did and watch those cool videos. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Jeff Wininger and Dan Dela Cruz from Compliant Technologies. And, you know, we're talking about an effort. Really, it's going around the country. We've had like Cory Booker and some other people, you know, were in New Jersey and other people push this move. But in Michigan, they're trying to fine ICE agents $500 if they're going to mask up, you know, during raids. And now LA is trying to do the same thing, trying to get legislation to prohibit them from hiding their identity. So Dan Dela Cruz already weighed in. Jeff Wininger, who used to work for the LA County Sheriff's Office and the Los Angeles Police Department, he's weighing in now. So your expert commentary, Jeff.
Well, I'm not surprised, because I think it's kind of a reflection of how the pendulum has kind of swung in regards to the public opinion on this issue. Back in January of this year, when Trump was inaugurated, about 66% of the population was supportive of the deportation and immigration strategies that were going to be imposed, where they were going to be going after violent criminals. And there's been some tactics that some people would suggest are somewhat extreme. And about 55% of Americans now in July feel that they've gone too far. So I think that this is just a reflection of government entities trying to create some semblance of a balance. Because really, if you're objective about this and you just look at the data, it's really impressive what Trump has done with the border. I mean, it's unbelievably impressive that he's essentially shut that down to zero coming in. And that's something that I don't even think the most optimistic individual would have thought was realistic, but he's been able to do that. But when it comes to the way in which these deportation strategies are being implemented, it's oftentimes like much as often is true in law enforcement and in life, it's not always how and how you say it or what you, how you do it. It's, you know, it's not what you say and how and what you do. It's how you say it and how you do it that is most important. So I just think that, you know, it's just a pushback on that. Fewer than 7% of people that are being arrested and deported are violent criminals. And the reality is that's lower than under Biden during the same period of time. Biden's administration was at 10%. Same thing with drug offenders. Drug offenders under Biden, I believe, was like 9%. And now under Trump, it's only 5%. So, you know, I think those realities have caused the ICE to push the envelope and do these broad sweeps of people that wouldn't be categorized as criminals. 65% of the people being deported have not been convicted of a crime. So, you know, this is something that we politically are going to have to struggle with. We're going to have to find the middle ground. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I think you're going to fine a federal agent. I think that's kind of silly. This isn't the way to go about it. Like I've said before on other shows, I think that these municipalities and government entities need to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, and work with the federal government to help them better achieve their goal, and not through resistance, but through cooperation. And I think that's really what needs to be done here in finding this middle ground where the federal government will be able to be more effective, and these concerns that these government entities are having, these politicians would be no longer an issue to be concerned about, because negotiations would have resolved them. So that's just kind of my thought. I'm kind of middle of the road on this thing. I think there's credible you know, facts on both sides that need to be considered on how best to address it. But it'll be interesting to see over time how things go.
It will. I know we got John Cox weighing in on Facebook. They could always say that they don't want to get COVID, so that's why they're masking up. And then we've got Todd Irving saying, but the writers can. And you're right, the writers always mask up, you know. Jeff, it's kind of funny. We're talking about L.A., but not long ago, we just had L.A., they'll argue about who did it, but they just released the photographs of all their I think predominantly all their officers, right? Even their undercover officers and stuff. There was a big lawsuit involving that. They were playing the blame game for a while, but that just happened too. So.
Yeah. I think it was called Watch the Watchers. They had filed a lawsuit to obtain access to this information, and it was granted, and somebody in their infinite wisdom in the organization allowed everybody to have their photographs and their serial numbers and names and ranks all released. And, you know, frankly, I've been separated from the organization now for over a year, and you can still find me under Watch the Watchers. There's a picture of me in uniform. And like you said, to emphasize that the reality was it wasn't just people working, you know, administrative type positions or answering radio calls. It was guys working undercover in, you know, pretty significant roles. But, yeah, what a mistake.
No, agreed. Well, guys, if you're ready to move on, we'll watch this and see what happens. There may have to be some court decisions, you know, on this, you know, trying to bind the hands of the federal government with this. And of course, there's obviously legitimate concerns. I see it. Moving on, let's go to our first story with the video component. If you guys want to take anything out of order, let me know. We got 1 minute before we do our second commercial break. At rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, Albuquerque police, they shoot a suspect who points an airsoft BB gun at the officer.
Okay, police. Put it down. You're gonna get shot. Put it down. Your hands up. Hands up.
Put your hands out like
you did. 10 through the air. Shots fired.
So yes, we're in New Mexico, And they're releasing new details about an officer-involved shooting that happened on the west side earlier in July. And according to the Albuquerque Police Department, the officer critically injured our bad guy, Jerry Baldonado, who's only 21 years old, after he pointed what appeared to be a firearm at police. Now, officers, they were called to the scene by our bad guy, Baldonado. It's 12:20 p.m., so it's in the middle of the afternoon. And guess what the day is? It's July the 4th when they do this, and it's at a home. He requested the officers help with a family dispute, and they said that our bad guy, Baldonado, he had a difficult time communicating with the person that took the 911 call. And I can see we're coming up on our next commercial break, too. Why does this always happen when we're in the middle of a good story? Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. They are back. So introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option. So you can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com if you want to check them out and get their lineup that matches every discipline. And you know, since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with what they call soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which is a lot of you guys. In addition, their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. Don't settle for less. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the instant onset warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure documents into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, August the 6th, CIs and search warrants. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today. Join thousands of your peers in Blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. We left off talking about Albuquerque, New Mexico. Police shoot a suspect who pointed an airsoft BB gun at the officer. And so kind of picking up where we left off, the officers get a call to the scene by our bad guy, Baldonado. It's 12:20, middle of the afternoon. It is on July the 4th. They go to his home. He requests that officers help with a family dispute, and he had a difficult time communicating with the dispatcher. He said that his brother was yelling at him, and at one point, he said his brother had a gun the previous day, but then he stopped asking or answering additional questions. So when the cop gets there, it's 12:35 p.m. Officer Dominic Sanchez, he goes up to the front door. He announces twice that he's, you know, APD, and Baldonado abruptly opens the door from the inside, comes outside to the cop with his left hand and what appeared to be a gun in his right hand. So he hits the door with his left hand. He's got the gun in his right hand pointed right at the officer. So the officer obviously didn't expect this, steps back, and there is a square stucco pillar that is on this porch, you know, holding the porch up. So the officer's on one side of it, and the bad guy with the gun pointing at the officers on the other side. So this pillar, I mean, it's like a 1x1 square, right? I mean, it's like it's partial cover at best. And both these guys are moving, you know, side to side, and the whole time the bad guy, you know, has got a bead on the cop. Cop has got a bead on the bad guy. I kept waiting for him to pull the trigger, and it didn't happen like I expected it to or wanted it to. The bad guy's pointing an apparent handgun at the officer, Officer Sanchez. Officer draws his gun. He says he's ducking on either side of this pillar. And then our bad guy switches his gun to his left hand, extends it out towards Officer Sanchez. Sanchez again tells him to put the gun down or that he would get shot. And then as Officer Sanchez moves to the left of the pillar, Baldonado, our bad guy, had the gun pointed directly at him still. So the officer fires three shots, hits the bad guy. Baldonado goes down to the ground. And he's still recovering, at least at the time this article was written. Investigators located an airsoft BB gun that was, that looked real. And that's the way this story ended. So commentary on this gentleman, Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, you know, when I was working patrol, I always like to put everything to my advantage. So I used whatever technology was available. Way back when cell phones were like bricks, and it costs like $200 a month, and because you were paying by the minute, I carried one. Because I'd like to call back the person reporting to get up-to-date information before I arrived on scene. And today's day and age, when I was a watch commander, I would encourage my officers to Google the the location and just take a gander at the front of it. Every address you can put in, you can see a street view and just kind of get an idea of the layout. Because if you look at how this officer approached, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I got a pucker factor and I wasn't the officer standing there. When that suspect came out of that door, if that had been a real gun and that suspect had any intention on killing a police officer, guess what? Throughout that entire state would have been at a funeral. And, you know, there's just the slightest things, like as he was walking up, he walked through gravel. What does gravel do? Create noise, makes people aware that you're there. You want to be surreptitious. You want to be quiet. You want to be utilizing your senses to determine what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you smelling? All of these sorts of things that will tell you how best to respond. And, fortunately for this officer, this was only an airsoft gun and the individual didn't have the intention on killing the officer, but it could have turned very tragic without much different circumstance. So, there's a lot that can be learned by just watching and thinking of better ways to approach, better mindset to have. You never want to be right there in that kill zone right in front of the door when you're addressing that type of a nature of call.
All right. Good point. Dan Dela Cruz.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff. I mean, one of the things that was extremely shocking to me was how long the officer waited to actually take a shot. I mean, the moment that gun came out that door, I was like, why are you talking to him? How is there a discussion? This isn't the movies where you just point guns at each other and have conversations. That was just very lucky that that was not a real gun, because I don't think we'd be talking about the same video otherwise. I just don't think that officer wanted to shoot anybody that day. And luckily it was an airsoft gun and he's alive. So.
Yeah. You know, I'd say no officer wants to shoot anybody ever.
No,
but you have to be willing to when the circumstance presents itself. And it's part of the oath that you've taken and you owe it to yourself and to your family and your loved ones and your coworkers, to be direct and, you know, decisive in your actions, especially when you're confronted with what is objectively reasonably believed to be a serious threat to you or somebody else's life. So, I'll give you a quick example of this. When I was the sergeant running the Rampart Gang Unit, I was going in near into watch to my office, and I hear over the radio, gang unit officers, guys working directly for me are in foot pursuit of a man with a gun. So I start heading that direction and I get about halfway there and then shots fired, officer needs help, shots fired. I'm going to tell you, that gets your heart rate going. You have to take deliberate deep breaths to stay calm and keep a clear mind, because you're not going to be any help. You're not going to be helpful if you don't have a clear mind. And basically what had happened was they were chasing this individual and they were going southbound on Union, which in Los Angeles, and in Rampart Division. And the suspect takes a right turn westbound on Olympic. And right there on the corner is a bank. And there's some steps that go up to a landing and there's an ATM machine. And the suspect turned and went up those steps. So momentarily, the first officer in that foot pursuit, because the LAPD, we never go in foot pursuit with one officer. There's two officers in foot pursuit. Loses sight. The primary officer in the lead loses sight of that suspect. When he turns to go up those steps, the suspect's standing there pointing a gun right at him, pulls the trigger. Click. It malfunctioned. Now, did this officer, who during the foot pursuit made the conscious decision that due to the likelihood or the risk of potential negligent discharge during the foot pursuit, decided to holster his gun. And so his gun was holstered when he made that corner. Did he dance like this guy did? No. When he saw that gun pointed at him, click, he came out. First round goes into the stairs. Next one hits the landing and the subsequent ones hit the suspect. Suspect goes a couple feet, drops dead from the injuries sustained by the gunfire. So, you know, that's the type of response that you would expect from an officer. And, you know, let me tell you, I was there seconds after it occurred. And boy, he was white. We're talking about that pucker factor. And he was standing there. He's like, Sarge, do I have holes? Am I hit? I mean, he had no idea. He thought for sure he was hit. But, you know, that's a reality of law enforcement on any given day, for me, at least in Los Angeles. And it's similar like that for law enforcement officers all over this country. So you have to be ready.
Wow, that's some story. You know, it wouldn't be out of character for them to pull this guy in and have some remedial training, just because you know, there's no argument that a reasonable officer would have used lethal force in the situation. And you have an obligation, not just to yourself, but to the citizens you protect. You know, if he would have, let's just say he had a real gun, now he's got access to, he shoots this cop, he's got access to the cop's weaponry, ammo, and anything in that car that he's driving, including the car. You know, so if this guy worked for me, I'm not saying I would fire him or necessarily yank him off the street, but he wouldn't be hitting the street again until I was convinced that this guy was capable of doing the job. Because there's no question mark about what a reasonable officer would have done in that circumstance. That's just kind of scary. But
you take it a step further. It's not necessarily just about remediation training to ensure that in the future, if he's confronted with a similar circumstance, he responds in a very different way. But, you know, this is something this officer is going to be second guessing himself about for the rest of his life. Yeah. And
he should.
You know, it could create a circumstance where it becomes a mental health issue, where if, you know, it could potentially cause him to feel, you know, inferior, or, you know, he starts dealing with his emotions about this incident through alcohol, the bottle, or what have you. And, you know, things that traditionally have, you know, been a heavy weight for law enforcement officers aren't always handled in the most appropriate way. So as law enforcement leaders and organizations, we got to make sure that we're taking care of our officers, but not only preparing them to do better in the future, but taking care of them in regards to their mindsets and processing, evaluating the mistakes that they do make, and ensuring that, you know, they understand that this isn't something that defines them.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you. We're coming up on our next commercial break. So let me do this. Let me just go in and whet the appetite with the next story. And our next one, another video component, Dallas police body cam shows off-duty officer shooting and injuring a suspect in a nightclub parking lot. Again, this just came out yesterday, thanks to This Is Butter's channel.
Put it down. Put it down. Put it down. Put it down. Hey. Put it down, man. Put it down.
Whoa. Yeah, guy with a guy gun, black shirt running.
Hey, drop it. Drop it. Drop that shit. Drop it! Drop the fucking gun! Drop the fucking gun! Drop the fucking gun! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Hey, shut it up now, fucking shots fired! Shots fired! Drop the fucking gun! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Don't fucking touch it! Don't fucking touch it! Don't fucking touch it! Turn around! Turn the fuck around! Turn the fuck around! Turn the fuck around!
I didn't know, bro.
Put your ass behind your back! Stop fucking reaching!
It's 1098. I'm going to need the ambulance here.
Don't fucking move. Stop. Give me your hand. Peace out. Yes. Go again. Put your arms behind your back. Get off him. Go.
Hold on, bro.
Then fucking turn over so I can save your life.
We're going to cover that in 1 minute. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source all the way back since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, the founder, Dana Kelly's got a great deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show, joined by Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, co-host, and also Dan Dela Cruz from Compliant Technologies. And I think that I've already whet the appetite for the next story. It is a Dallas police body cam showing off duty officers shooting and injuring a suspect in a nightclub parking lot. And after we get done with this, Jeff, remind me, we got to talk about On Thin Ice, your book coming out. But we're in Dallas, Texas right now. An investigation is underway after Dallas police officer shoots and injures a suspect in a nightclub parking lot. And it happened overnight. It's pretty... You know, we have body cam of these officers kind of like kicking back on the side of the club talking, and all of a sudden you hear the shots fired, right? I mean, it's just kind of typical of what goes on. So Dallas PD said the incident happened. It's 2:30 in the morning. It's on Sunday at a place called Escapade, and it's a nightclub. So uniformed off-duty officers, there's more than one. They're working security. They hear a gunshot, and then they see this fight going on in the parking lot of the club. So the officer said the suspect had a gun in his hand. They give him immediately loud verbal commands to drop the weapon, but instead he does not comply, of course, and he runs away. But now he's running through a parking lot full of cars, and he's cutting in between cars and stuff. So now there's a foot chase, but our main officer of the body cam kind of loses sight of the bad guy with the gun. But there's a lot of cops over there in the area that are looking for him. So more officers... arrive, they confront the suspect, and again, he refuses to drop the weapon after multiple commands to do so. So one officer ends up firing his handgun. It looked like the bad guy had actually dropped the gun at this point, and he's bending down to pick it back up when the officer, you know, fires his weapon at the bad guy. And I believe it was one shot, if I'm not mistaken. And now we've got another officer coming helping with him. I think that there were two instances where maybe one shot was fired. The suspect is recovering in the hospital after a shot to the shoulders where he ended up getting hit. And just kind of going back to my show notes here, it starts off just at 18 seconds into the video, but at the 27 second mark, the suspect flees on foot behind the parked cars. And then, man, we're going to jump like 2 minutes ahead to where the armed suspect is required by a police officer fires a single shot when it appears the suspect drops his firearm in the parking lot, bends down to retrieve it, and then another single shot ends up being fired. And now they're fighting. And there was a reluctance to throw punches, you know, on the bad guy when he's not, you know, putting his hand behind his back. They deploy finally a taser. And at 4:01, the suspect, you know, they confine him. He's not handcuffed. He's laying on his back. They got his arm stretched out, and he's not handcuffed. And so there were some tactical inefficiencies that I noted. I'm sure they eventually handcuffed him maybe after the video ended, but this video went on for quite a while, and I never saw the bad guy in handcuffs. And we knew that he had at least, you know, one gun on him. Commentary on this, gentlemen, curious what your take is on this. And anyone that's ever worked a nightclub probably has had something similar to this going on. Jeff Wininger.
You know, the one thing that I picked up on that, you know, may not be obvious was, you know, these guys are working in uniform off duty. And when the initial officer goes in foot pursuit of this guy or starts trying to locate him, he grabs his radio and they're using their serial number for their identification because they're off duty. And he's trying to get a clear frequency. And if you noticed, he had to, you know, he was getting stepped on and he continually had to ask for a clear frequency. So, you know, my biggest concern on the onset of this, when I saw what was occurring, was that it's important that off-duty officers coordinate like they did these guys that were present, but how well was the information being relayed to on-duty uniform officers, and how well and effective was communications with their awareness and acknowledgement of these off-duty officers trying to get the proper information out so they can have an adequate response from on-duty personnel. And that was something I think that organization should look at and maybe provide some better training or change some practices or protocols, because that was the one thing that jumped out at me when I initially saw this. Yeah, there was the obvious stuff with the taser and then officer being tangled up with the guy when you're using the taser, and all you got to do is have touch both those dart lines, and you're gonna be impacted by that taser as well. But that was the one thing that jumped out at me that probably isn't something that would be necessarily talked about.
You know, for civilians watching, you know, you're working in a, and Jeff brings up a good point. You're working in an off-duty capacity. You normally monitor the frequency of the troops in the area. You're on that frequency, so if anything goes down, and they know that you're there, so you go out on radio. They know where you're at in case something goes down. And you're on that frequency. You know, in hindsight, I'm thinking once they got, it took so long. I mean, the guy was shot in the shoulder. I mean, you know, so it's not a deadly scenario for the bad guy. He's going to survive. But this is maybe an application for the glove. Although, you know, and the glove allows you to shoot a gun while you're wearing it. You don't have to take it off. But how much differently would this have gone down if they simply had a tool like the glove on them? Bad guy's down, but now you got. Could you imagine if there was still just the one cop, if he hadn't been joined by the second officer that helped wrestle the bad guy? But the glove would have been a total game changer as far as getting the compliance from the bad guy who fought. And I think, according to the video, I think it was like over 2 minutes they're fighting with this guy after he shot in the shoulder. And of course, he's just hitting the shoulder. He still could be a lethal threat. And we don't even know that he doesn't even have another weapon on him. So.
Yeah, I agree. It went on way too long. And in the end, they still never truly had him under control. Or safe control. He still had four working limbs, if not three. And what we've learned over the years is one guy with a few good working limbs is extremely hard to control. So you've got to detain them correctly before you can actually help them, because it could turn on you suddenly.
I think he just basically described both of us, Jeff, with that term, three good working limbs. that's about us. So, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, he makes a great point, because, and you had mentioned this, Jeff, is he had a gun. You know, who's to say he doesn't have a second gun? How many instances have there been where officers take a gun off somebody and they think they're good to go, and then another one is presented and you have a real tragic ending or certainly an escalation of the situation. But, you know, once again, with the glove, it's like you have the taser. Once you have the taser out in your hand, you're kind of committed to that. And it takes a heck of an effort to transition if it escalates further, if he does possess a second gun and brandishes it. So with the gloves, you can utilize those. And if it does escalate, you transition right to your gun. You don't have to do something with this taser that's in your hand. And it'll be over. I mean, this guy's, if you noticed, this guy was more intent on explaining what happened and why this thing occurred and why he was running and how the other guy had a knife and all of that than he was concerned with his own life. And if you apply the glove, and I've had it applied to me, you will forget about the story that you're trying to present, and you will want that pain to end, and you will just put your hands wherever you're being told to put them, and it'd be over in seconds. So, right. You know, yeah, this was a perfect example, Chip, for the use of that glove.
And that was a surprise, because I'd forgotten. And then we're going through this and I'm visualizing this and saying, wow, the light bulb goes off. But on thin ice, coming up at an Amazon link near you, and we're going to be making an announcement soon. Is that right, Jeff, in your new book called On Thin Ice?
Yep. On Thin Ice will be coming out soon. I'm going to be making the announcement of the date of the official release here live on LAO Roundtable. And when I do that, we'll be giving away free VIP book boxes where you'll get a hardcover copy of the book as well as some other gifts. And it just requires you to be tuned in here on LAO Roundtable.
All right. I love it. And also Sergeant George Ishak has won the Two Bells giveaway. Congratulations, Sergeant George. and Dan De La Cruz. Complex Technologies, the glove. A lot of people thinking, man, we want to get our hands on this product, or not hand. We want to see this product. They probably don't want to get their hands on it because they're a little, you know, they're hearing the stories, you know. But at SHOT Show, your presence at SHOT Show. If anyone's going to be going to SHOT Show in January, you guys going to be back at SHOT Show?
Yeah, we will be there. We'll be with our distributor that's there, and then we'll have some private suite again that you joined us in last year, and also a meeting area where we'll be able to have some conversations, maybe introduce some people to the stimulation that I like to pass around.
All right, excellent. I love it. So thank you so much, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger from LAPD, Dan De La Cruz from Complex Technologies with the glove. We appreciate it, and looking forward to if you guys are going to the SHOT Show, I'll be there. Hopefully Jeff Winninger, he's working on getting there. Dan De La Cruz is definitely going to be there. So guys, please keep that in mind. Now, we usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. It's Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c that's helping cops out in the world of hurt. So please check them out and consider supporting that organization. It's a fantastic organization, and they're not going to embarrass you. Don't forget about Jeff Winninger's new book, On Thin Ice. You can go to jeffwinninger.com or onthinicebook.com. So make sure you check that out. And then not to be outdone, compliantechnologies.com. Get more information about the glove. Watch those cool videos as well. A shout out to our sponsors, galls.com, compliantechnologies.com, aeroprecisionusa.com, Gunlearn, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, and Safeguard Recruiting. Also tubebells.com and fishorlandobass.com. We'll see you guys back Monday, 12 noon Eastern.